Good day, everyone. Welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by what you hear. We want to inspire you through Christ to fly in the power of God's Word through the challenging times in your lives. Be sure to visit the blog page for prophetic words, updates, and godly inspiration at www.wingsofprophecy.com. Now here is your host, Glenda Linkus.
How very easy it is to undermine authority. A police officer pulled a man over for speeding and asked to see his driver's license. Calmly, the driver responded, "I don't have one. I had it suspended when I got my fifth DUI. Officer, may I see your registration?" "It's not my car. I stole it." "The car is stolen?" "Yeah, but now that you mention it, I think I did see the registration in the glove box when I was putting my gun in there."
"There's a gun in the glove box?"
"Yes, sir. I put it in there after I killed the lady who owns this car and stuffed her in the trunk."
"There's a body in the trunk?"
"Yes, sir." Hearing this, the officer immediately called his captain. The car was quickly surrounded by police, and the captain approached the driver.
"Captain."
"Sir, can I see your license?"
"Driver." "Sure, here it is."
It was valid.
"Captain,
whose car is this?"
"It's mine, officer. Here's the registration."
"Could you slowly open your glove box so I can see if there's a gun in it?"
The driver said, "Yes, sir, but there's no gun in it."
Sure enough, there was nothing in the glove box.
"The captain, would you mind opening your trunk? I was told there's a body in it."
The driver said, "No problem."
The trunk was open, no body.
The captain said, "I don't understand it. The officer who stopped you said you told him you didn't have a license, stole the car, had a gun in the glove box, and that there was a dead body in the trunk."
And the driver said, "No kidding? I bet he told you I was speeding, too."
How very easy it is to undermine authority. We live in a society that admires disobedience and rebellion. If you don't believe me, put a tablet in your living room, and whenever you're watching TV, take notes on how advertisements and TV programs portray people in authority. Parents are shown as clueless morons. Teachers are about the same. For the most part, we don't really care about authority figures in America, do we? We value independence, and we resent having anybody tell us what to do. I want to talk to you today about Exodus 20:12. "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you." Now, when I was growing up, I was taught that you honor everyone who is elder to you. Anyone who's older than you, you are to show respect to. And that stayed with me my whole life. I'm sure many of you are thinking right now, "Well, if you knew my mother or my father, you wouldn't be preaching on this." Well, yeah, I would, because it's in God's Word. And He didn't say, honor your father and your mother if they were nice to you, or if they were good parents to you, or if they were perfect human beings, which we know none of us are. None of us were perfect kids either, were we? The commandment simply says we are to honor them. Now, why doesn't it say anything about honoring others? Well, maybe because if children honor and respect their parents, they will invariably show honor and respect to their teachers, to police officers, to elected officials, their bosses, etc. Now, if you look in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." In the Lord means according to what the Lord commands. You don't, if your parents tell you to go out and shoot somebody and kill them, you don't do that. You obey according to what the Lord has said. It's just like the wife's submission to the husband. We don't submit to husbands in any way that goes against the laws of God or the commandments of the Lord. "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." And it also says, "And you, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So clearly the parents also have a responsibility to the children. However, if the parents missed it, the commandment is not changed. Can I just tell you that? I'm telling you this for a reason. I want you to be blessed. This is the first commandment with promise, and that it may be well with you is really important, okay? And the commandment, it says that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. That doesn't necessarily mean the land where you are now. The land he gives you means your promised land. That's the good part, okay? The best is yet to come. We want that part to be real long and this part to be real short, okay? But if we don't honor our father and our mother, we won't get to stay there long either. The NIV translates the one in Ephesians 6 to say, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Our relationships here on earth are training for our relationship with the Lord. Our relationship with our parents is training for our relationship with the Lord. Okay? Our relationship with our marriage partner is training for our relationship with the Lord. Let's face it, we don't always feel like doing the right thing. And if you have parents or a parent that does not act honorably or has not acted honorably, it's so much more difficult than if you got parents that are easy to honor. But none of that changes what the commandment says. What I want to talk to you today about is how to keep this commandment in spite of that. First, we need to realize the commandments were not given for God's sake, y'all. They were given for ours. You know that, right? The Lord knew our lives on earth would be difficult in so many ways. So he gave us commands to help make them easier, much easier and much better for us, both in the short term and in the long run. He's not trying to kill your fun. He's trying to help you have a really good life while you're on the earth. I have not always honored my parents. There was a period of time before I was saved when I acted very dishonorably in my own life. Not towards either of them, but just the way that I lived. And when my father was dying of cancer, I was in the wilderness, my first wilderness, while I was staying with him, which was only a month or so, but I feel I could have served much better in that time, been more kind, been a better daughter, been a better representation for Jesus. And I carry that regret now because I could not put me aside then and do the more excellent thing. As you read through the scriptures, you will find other scriptures that back this commandment up. Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. That don't sound good at all, does it? And that could be taken to mean a man who disrespects his parents or woman is put out to suffer from the elements. Judgment comes on him. Dr. Laura Schlesinger wrote in her book, The Ten Commandments, the significance of God's laws in everyday life. Parents are teachers of faith and morality. What God is to the world, parents are to their children. Unfortunately, some parents become so focused on the element of friendship or their own convenience, comfort, self-fulfillment, happiness, or love life that they forget their job is to help mold moral character so their children will have the strength to do what is right in a world that sometimes encourages them to do otherwise. I would say often encourages them to do otherwise. I like this story that I found. This is in Grimm's Fairy Tales. It's the story of an older man who lived with his young son and his son's wife. They also had a 4-year-old boy. The old man's eyes blinked. His hands shook. When he ate food, the silverware would rattle against the plate. He often missed his mouth. Food would be spilled on the tablecloth. This upset the young wife. She appealed to her husband to do something. They decided to move their dad to a corner at mealtime away from the family. He would sit alone in the corner eating out of a bowl, sitting on a stool. The old man would look sadly at the others, and he desired to be with them. One day the man dropped his bowl and broke it. His son and daughter-in-law said, "If you eat like a pig, then we will serve you like a pig." They made a wooden trough for the old man to eat out of. Not long after, they came upon their son playing with some pieces of wood. The dad asked him what he was doing. The boy looked up, smiled, and said, "I'm making a trough to feed you and Mama when I get big." The next day, the old man was back at the table eating with the family again, and no one ever scolded or mistreated him again. You remember Harry Chapin's song, "The Cat's in the Cradle"? That so vividly describes this fairy tale. We reap what we sow. There are several ways that we can honor our parents. My parents are both deceased, and all my grandparents are gone, but my friend Nicole, she was praying one day about a family get-together where she was going to be around her mother-in-law, and she just wanted everything to go smoothly. They're very different. And the Lord spoke to her, and he said, "She is your mother by extension. Honor her." I had no idea until she told me that God considers our step-parents as extensions of our own parents. Now, I don't have any step-parents. I do have in-laws. But for those of you who have step-parents, keep that in mind. We need to honor our parents in the way that we live our lives. Proverbs 23, 24, and 25. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Parents are always proud when their children live a wise and a righteous and moral life. And that comes from living a life in tune with God. Proverbs 19:26 says, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. We need to love our parents above all. They're not perfect. We're not perfect either, right? And my daughter has a saying, and I really love this. She said, you got to love people where they're at. So if you can't love them completely, love them where they're at and just do the best that you can. God will help you with the rest if you will take that step in faith. In the old days, children would work the farm of their parents until they died, and then the farm would become the children's. Here, now, the children kick their parents off the farm, shove them in a nursing home, and take the farm for themselves. Isn't that true? It is wrong to exploit your parents. We need to protect our parents from exploitation. The older they get, the more vulnerable they are. There are a lot of vultures out there ready to rip them off. It's estimated that every year, senior adults are scammed out of $40 million. Few things get my ire up as fast as the thought of elder abuse. I don't know about you. We need to speak lovingly and respectfully to our parents. Proverbs 20:20 says, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. That's not a good thought, is it? That's a picture of a person's life being cut short. You want your life to be long, right? This means if you embrace a lifestyle of hatred and contempt for your parents, your own life is at risk. One of the ways that we show respect and honor to a person is to listen to them very attentively. That is one of the greatest ways to show respect, because when you listen attentively to someone, not distractedly, not looking around the room for something else to think about, but with attention, it shows that you care what they're saying. You care about what they're communicating to you. We need to do that with our parents. It is a really terrible feeling to get older and to be cast aside. I am only 55 now, but I can already see the difference in how people treat me now opposed to how they treated me 15 or 20 years ago. 15 or 20 years ago, I was included in everything. You know, everybody wants to be around you. You're like, you know, the fun person. When you get older, you're not the fun person anymore. You're the person everybody tries to stay away from and not have to go visit. That's not a good feeling. And if we sow that, we'll reap it. Years ago, when my husband and I first got together and we were just pen pals, his grandmother passed away, and that was the person he was probably closest to in all the world. He was her favorite grandchild, and he could do no wrong in her eyes. And I asked him, I said, do you want to set up some kind of page on the internet or something as a tribute to her, a way to honor her? And although he didn't know how, he said then he wanted to honor her with his life, by the way he lived his life. He's doing that now. He didn't know how to do it then. He's living his life in a way that honors her in a place, a surrounding of great dishonor. No matter where you live, you still choose how you live. I'm talking to somebody. I'm talking to a man right now that you think your situation is hopeless and you think there's no way you can live a life of honor. That is a lie from the pit of hell. No matter where you live, you choose how you live, sir. Honor is defined as high respect, like special merit, a good name or reputation, glory or recognition, distinction. Show respect for. That's probably the greatest way to honor your father and your mother. A good name or reputation. Part of that is affected by how your children live, because people say that how your children live is a reflection of the parents who raised them, but here's the truth. There are times when a child can be raised in the most wonderful environment, treated with love and respect, and brought up well, and they still make bad choices in their life. It happens. I believe a lot of that's due to curses, but it does happen. But it does reflect on the parents. When my son got arrested when he was 18, I still, to this day, remember in the days after his arrest, because it was all over the news, because it was a very high-profile crime. I remember walking into the local grocery store, and I remember all of a sudden people pulled away from me, and they stood together whispering and looking at me. And that was such a terrible feeling. That was such a terrible feeling, because I was already in so much pain already. What you do, every sin that you commit affects the people that you love. Honoring our parents is not always convenient for us. In 2005, I was doing an oil and gas job, and they had sent me to the end of the earth, which was Alpine, Texas, which was the end of the earth in my book. It's way out in the desert of far west Texas, about 2 hours from the border to Mexico. I hated it out there, but I loved my boss to pieces. He was just the best boss. And I had agreed to stay out there for another year. I did make more money when I was working out there because it was so far away, because I had shipped out of Oklahoma to go there. So they paid me extra per day for that. And so I had just agreed to be out there another year. And about 3 days later, the Lord spoke to me one morning and he said, I want you to go back to Elk City and honor your mother with your presence. And I was like, okay. So I had to call my boss and give him notice. So my mother had just fallen again. So, I mean, there wasn't good cause, but it was unexpected. I had leased an apartment. I had leased furniture because I didn't have furniture then. And it cost me about $2,000 to buy out of my leases. But I value those last years with my mom at far, far more than $2,000. And my daughter, though she has a master's degree in management with a 3.75 GPA, promised my mom she would never move away from her, and she was bound to that small town in Oklahoma by her vow, and she kept her vow. My mother lived 8 years in that nursing home, and she kept her vow, and that was her way of honoring her grandmother. And even though it was extremely difficult for her, and many times very unpleasant to live in that little town, and though she is now unemployed because of it, she kept that vow to the end of my mother's life, and I'm so proud of her for that. Helping is a part of honoring. I want to read y'all a funny story. An old Italian lived alone in New Jersey. He wanted to plant his annual tomato garden, but it was very difficult work as the ground was hard. His only son, Vincent, who used to help him, was in prison. The old man wrote a letter to his son and described his predicament. Dear Vincent, I'm feeling pretty sad because it looks like I won't be able to plant my tomato garden this year. I'm just getting too old to be digging up a garden plot. I know if you were here, my troubles would be over. I know you would be happy to dig up the garden for me like in the old days. Love, Papa. A few days later, the father received a letter from his son. Dear Pop, don't dig up that garden. That's where the bodies are buried. Love, Vinny. At 4 a.m. the next morning, FBI agents and local police arrived and dug up the entire area without finding any bodies. They apologized to the old man and left. That same day, the man received another letter from his son. Dear Pop, go ahead and plant the tomatoes now. That's the best I could do under the circumstances. I love you, Benny. I thought that was the cutest story ever. Helping is part of honoring. Me going back to Elk City and being able to go and visit my mother in the nursing home every evening after work and on weekends and take her things that I thought she would enjoy or things that she needed was one of the ways that God wanted me to honor her. I ended up preaching at her nursing home some too, which she absolutely loved. But we honor them in different ways. The main way that we honor them is how we treat them and how we live our lives. In Matthew chapter 19, there's a man who came to Jesus and said, "Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments." He says to him, "Which?" And Jesus said, "You shall do no murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So it was an important enough command that Jesus repeated it. And some people say, well, that's not to be taken literally. That's baloney. It was a scripture in the Bible that I used to really wonder. I could not figure out for anything what it could possibly be linked to. And it's Revelation 12:1. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. So maybe you think, okay, well, that's not one of the ones you take literally. Really? There's a DVD called The Star of Bethlehem. And it explains exactly and precisely where that came from and what it means. And I was completely in awe when I saw it. As a matter of fact, I've got that DVD on the wing side under DVDs for anyone who wants it. It's under $8. I highly recommend it. It is so interesting. It's called The Star of Bethlehem, and it's an investigation into the Star of Bethlehem. Let me tell you a story. Football practice was over, and Denny was sore from head to toe. Slowly, he climbed the graffiti-laden stairway of the aging apartment building. Suddenly, his mother's chilling screams pierced the cold, still air. He had heard the sound many times before. A sickening knot formed in his stomach. Denny had tried for years, without success, to quell his father's drunken fits of anger and abuse. Today would be different. Something snapped inside him. With adrenaline pumping, Denny stormed through the apartment door and tore his dad away from his mother. Hardened by years of football training, he hammered his dad with two quick punches. Then, empowered by years of burning memories, he lifted his father from the floor and threw him through their second-story window. Amazingly, his father sustained only minor injuries in the fall, but memories of what he had done haunted Denny through two marriages and a string of friendships shattered by a fiery temper. Alcoholism, something he swore would never destroy his life as it had his father's, slowly ate away at him as well. Little did Denny realize that if he had any chance at all for a worthwhile life, it would come by learning to honor his dad. Miraculously, even Denny discovered the freedom to be found in honoring his father. After 6 years, Denny finally consented to attend church with an old high school teammate and placed his faith in Jesus. Soon he met and married a wonderful Christian widow. Prompted by his wife and several Christian friends, Denny placed 3 phone calls to his dad over the course of 7 years. Each call started with, "Dan, I love you," only to be abruptly cut off with a click at the other end. Finally, on the 4th attempt, Denny was able to convince his father to listen. In the ensuing moments, he explained how much his life had changed and how he could forgive and honor his dad now because of all he had been forgiven. Several months passed. One day, his mother called him at the office with the shocking news that his father was near death. Before he could leave for the airport, his mother called again to report that his dad had disappeared. His father had checked into an alcoholic rehab clinic in order to be able to talk with Denny about spiritual things sober before he died. Denny did see his father again and had the incredible privilege of leading him to the Lord. Several months later, his dad died. Denny waits with great anticipation to see him again, eager to pick up where they left off. Having found the freedom in giving the gift of honor, Denny now moves through life unencumbered by the chains of hate that once paralyzed him. By choosing to bestow honor, even when it wasn't deserved, he liberated himself and brought his dad to Christ. For Denny, and for many others, the gift of honor is the gift of life. That's from a sermon by Terry Blankenship in Lighting the World. Your life and your obedience may be the only Bible some people will ever read. If you don't believe the Word of God enough to obey it yourself, don't be surprised when your friends and family disregard your witness for Christ. Because the most important thing about a witness is truth. Father, I lift up every listener to you now. You created each of us for your own good pleasure. We are each a masterpiece of your making. Please help us, Lord, to honor you by doing your will in all things. We especially pray this week that you would help us to honor our parents and parents by extension at all times and in all ways. Help us to put aside our own feelings and do as you command, Lord, so we may be your true children in the earth. We have all at different times acted or spoken in ways that were unbecoming to a Christian. We ask your forgiveness for any of those times we have not repented, Lord, and ask for strength and courage to do better. You are our amazing God. You saved us, and your word renews our minds daily. Your precious spirit is within us, and without you, we can do nothing, Lord. We declare we are not led by our emotions. We are not led by anger or unforgiveness. We close the gates of hell on rebellion and resentment in the name of Jesus and every other evil influence over our relationship with our earthly parents and step-parents in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, that you would remove anything in our lives that keeps us from honoring our parents and step-parents, that we may honor you, Lord, as you have commanded. We call it done in Jesus' mighty name. We praise you, Lord, for your mercy, your faithfulness, your great love towards us. Amen. if you cannot honor your parents for who they are. Just honor the office that they stand in as your parents for the Lord. Do it for Him. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you. I pray that you have a great week. And remember to honor your father and your mother. And remember, where you live does not determine how you live.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio. We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas, 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any other church or nonprofit organization.
Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.
Followers of Jesus sense something big is about to happen. How we all would like a tangible sign happening now, which directly connects the timing to His return. There is, revealed in a 2,500-year-old prophecy to America and explained in my new book, America, Isaiah is Warning, God's Judgment is Coming, is that connection. Available where books are ordered and at americasjudgment.com. America, Isaiah is Warning.